Don't ask the caterpillar how he dances. No. So, Brahma. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got it. Okay. So the the rishis, they said, you know, tell us the Mahabharat. So Suta Goswami, he started like this, you know, a long time ago. Well, not really. Okay. He started like this. What happened was, Brahma summoned all the devas to the milk ocean. And they went there, and Brahma, they're all sitting, and Brahma called Mother Earth, and he said, Mother Earth has something to tell you. So she was kind of, you know, shy, and she said, there's all these demons. A long time ago, Indra killed all of these demons, but they've been reborn on the Earth planet in the royal dynasties, and also as animals and different people, and they've been doing all kinds of sinful activities, and they're ruining the Earth. So, you know, I need help. So all the gods were, like, alarmed, you know. And it was their duty, you know, to protect the Earth. And the demons had kind of, you know, gone under their nose, so to speak. So Brahma told them, he said, all of you, go now and be born on the Earth planet. Send your amshas. So, you know, amsha means portion. Like, sometimes they say plenary portion. Like, it is like the God himself goes, but he sends his energy. And so Madhvacharya says that all the Pandavas were actually the amshas of these deities. You know, Yudhisthira was an amsha of Yamaraj or Dharma. Bhima was an amsha of Vayu. Arjuna was the amsha of Indra. And Nakula and Sahadeva were the amshas of the Ashvinis. So that those were they're, you know, that's who they were. That's their actual identity. And so when the gods heard all this, they, you know, they got excited. And so then, you know, according to Mahabharat, it's a little different story than in the Bhagavatam. Indra and all the deities, they went to Shvetadvip from there. And Vishnu was in Shvetadvip, and he was lying on the bed, Sesha. And so they went to Vishnu, and they said, they kind of sat there, and they were praying. And then Vishnu opened his eyes, and he said, what is it that you want? And they said, Lord, you know, we're going to come down on the earth and to fight demons, so please come with us on this adventure. So then Vishnu was like, I will come. He said, all of you come down there and I will join you. So then he actually asked the chief deities, like Indra, to come. And then they discussed, because they all had plans, you know, what they're going to do. Everyone has a role to play. Because you have a well-organized plan. It wasn't like a light thing, like, you know, they had a well-organized plan. And so they had to follow through on all the different... So they had different things they got to do, and so they organized all that stuff. And so that was... So Karna is actually the Amsha of Surya. Now, from the commentary of Madhva, he makes a valid and interesting point. In the Ramlila... Sugriva was the friend and devotee of Rama. And Vali was his enemy. And so Rama had to kill him. So in the Krishna Lila, the roles were reversed. Because as we know, Sugriva is the Amsha of Surya. and Vali was the Amsha of Indra. So in the Leela of Krishna, the Amsha of Indra is his friend. And the Amsha of Surya, being Karna, was the inimical element. So that is the relationship. It's switched. But it's a Leela. It's a play, but still the things are there. Now, Karna specifically was, he had the Amsha, a portion of Surya, but he also had the soul of a demon. And so Sukadev started telling who everybody was in actuality, you know. And this is just confirmed more by Madhva. There's some things that he knew, then he explains a little more. So, you know, all the Pandavas, we already explained. Duryodhan was an incarnation of Kali. Shakuni was also an incarnation of a demon. All of Duryodhan's brothers were incarnations of demons. Drupada and Virat were incarnations of Maruts, which are storm gods. Abhimanyu was incarnation of one of the sons of Chandra. So everybody had to send some children, you know, and themselves and different people came. Dronacharya was an Amsha from Brihaspati. And then so Karna was an Amsha from Surya, but he also had the soul of a demon named Sahasra Kavacha. And how that all worked out is like this. A long time ago, there was this demon. And so, you know, demons, they always do tapasya to devas, like Brahma and Shiva, so they can conquer Indra. Because that's all they really have to worry about. Brahma and Shiva are very aloof. And they're more powerful than Indra. Everybody else really isn't. So they go to Brahma and Shiva because, you know, they don't really mess in this material world. And so but they can give them benedictions. So they, because demons inherently aren't as strong as Indra. Indra is very powerful. So they go to Brahma and Shiva because they're more powerful than Indra. And he gives them benedictions. So this demon, he did tapasya. And the thing that he got was, he got an armor. But it had 1,000 layers. That's why it's Sahasra Kavacha. Kavacha means armor. The 1,000 armor demon. So it had 1,000 layers. And you break one of the layers, you die. And you have to do a year's austerity to break one of the armors. So how is he going to be defeated, you know? He thought he was unstoppable. So what happened was, Nara and Narayan, those are two forms. They challenged him. So what they did was, there's a place in Badri. You do one day's tapasya, it counts for 1 year. Now, interesting side note. In this Kali Yuga, it's what people, if you do 1 day of austerities in Kali Yuga, it's the same as if you had done it for 1,000 years in Satya Yuga. Because it's just, people don't live as long, and it's just very hard, and it's very rare. So that's a side note. But there's a place where you do 1 day, it counts as a year. And so what would happen is, one of the pair would attack him, would do the tapasya, and then they'd attack him, and one of the pair would fall over and look like he was dead. And then the other one would revive him, and then they'd knock off another piece, and then they'd go back and do it, and they did it on a rotation like this. And so they, eventually, you know, after some time, all his armor was broken, so he had one left. And he knew they were after him. So he was terrified. So this demon, Sahasra Kavacha, he ran to Surya. Now, Kshatriyas, their dharma is like this. If somebody comes to them and they beg shelter, they have to give it. Even if they're like an enemy, you have to give shelter. If anyone begs anything from you, you have to give it. So even people like Vishwamitra, he was a great sage, but he was a Kshatriya until he became a Brahmarishi. And so he, that nature was ingrained in him. So anybody that came to him and asked for a benediction, it didn't matter how, you know, difficult it was, he would do it. One guy said, you know, I want to go to heaven. So he just used his austerity. He used his, to, you know, use the merit that he had gained from his austerities. And the guy went straight up to Swarga because he's a Kshatriya. If someone begs, you have to give. So he went there and the gods didn't want him. So they kicked him out. So he was falling down. So Vishwamitra, he raised his hand and he made the little dipper. So the guy would have a heavenly place to live. So, you know, the Kshatriya natures, you have to give if someone asks. So the demon, he said, please give me shelter. So Surya was like, okay. So Narayan came, where is he? So he's like, he's my, you know, shelter now. So I have to defend him. So they didn't want to, you know, kill the sun god. They could have, but, you know, they didn't want to fight with the sun god. So when Karna was born, Surya, that demon was born as Karna. But he had some of that essence of the sun god. So that's the story of who Karna is and why he is a demon. He's bad. You know, some people say he's their hero. Some people, you know, idolize him. There's whole translations out there. They don't even put in some of the bad things that he did. You know, I mean, he was a demon. I mean, he was a demon and he got killed and he did some horrible things. I guess maybe you'll find some of them out because I'm not going to cut back on, you know, I'm not going to lie in this one. But yeah, so that's some of the, it's important to know some of these things about some of the characters. So yeah, Salya was actually, he's one of the characters, is Salya. He was their uncle. He was Madri's brother. And so Salya was actually incarnation of Prahlad's brother named Sahalad. Prahlad had a few brothers, and one of them named was Sahalad. And so he incarnated as Salya. But he also had some of the energy of Vayu. But that's what gave him his strength. Salya was one of the strongest people in the world. There was a few of them. There was Krishna and Balaram, Duryodhan, Salya, Kichaka and Bhima, and Jarasandha. Those were considered the seven most strongest men on the earth. So those are some of the, you know, backgrounds of, you know, who these people are. And because we're dealing with, you know, it looks like, you know, some kings fighting over some petty thing. And that's the thing. The thing is that when you make a translation or a story of Mahabharata and you don't include, you know, this kind of information, it just kind of looks like a petty squabble amongst some people, you know. And there's really so much that's going on there below the surface. And there's even more when you count in, you know, Krishna is God and everything, and so much is going on. But when you kind of, it kind of sells it short, you lose some of the deeper meaning on so many levels when you don't, you know, take these things into account. It just becomes some, you know, story about this, and you get some mundane morality maybe out of it, you know. But the Mahabharata's way deeper than that. And if you want to, if you're serious in your devotion, you can read it, and it can give you so many insights if you have the proper guidance. And thankfully, you know, we have a great Acharya, you know, disciple of Vyasa, who received and was instructed directly from the literary incarnation of God that he should do something on Mahabharata. Because the way Vyasa put it was like this: if common people don't appreciate religion, then what's the use? Because no one will do it. So please make a commentary, a Vaishnav commentary on Mahabharata, so that everybody in the world can be attracted, because Mahabharata I've made attractive for all the people of the world. It's got intrigue, but if you give some deeper, there's deeper stuff in there than just all the intrigue. So please, you know, point that out for people. So that was the whole point. And we can, you know, hear these stories of Mahabharata. We can read the book, you know, and then you get the whole perspective. And then it becomes something that becomes more than just, you know, becomes Vishuddha Sattva. It takes you to the platform of even beyond moksha, you know. So that's the beauty of this. Anyway, I think that's a good place to stop.